time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and we're back once again. We'll be here till 12, and then from 12:15 to 1 o'clock, I'll be sitting in with Scott. And topic, who knows? Okay, now I've got, we went through the animals here the first hour, and it was interesting. Now, my farmer friend talked about, you know, the male pig is the little one is the barrow, and the female is the gilt. And as long as she isn't bred, you know, up to a year's time, a gilt. And the gilt is what we find growing up into that delicious spiral-cut ham and smoked ribs and everything else. And remember? No, you wouldn't remember. But in the bars a long time ago, in fact, who was it? George Casillas was talking about one time he was giving away, he would slice zucchinis and deep fry them with something and set them on the counter and let people, you know, drinking or whatever, have, you know, a little snack there. And he said that the other bars in Marion had him cited for enticing people to drink. And so, anyhow, what was I going to say? Oh, pig's feet. You see, when I was a kid, Worms Restaurant in Bucyrus, you see, the Worms were a family that I grew up with. And believe it or not, I have 1939 movies of that family. All I need to do is get my film converted to DVDs, and I don't know if I could ever afford that. Probably not. I've got hundreds and hundreds of feet of our families growing up and all the different things, the Admiral Byrd snow cruiser and all kind of fires, Gretchen Falk drugstore burning down. Okay, now, let's see. What was I going to talk about? I get myself distracted. Okay, so, and we found out in this last bit about the capons and the hen turkeys that are so plump that they cannot breed with a male turkey physically, you know, and things like that. I hope that I, you know, helping people understand a few things that you might have never known in your life. Okay. All right. Now, here is, let me see. Oh, yes. The downtown silos. You know what I'm talking about. Behind and catty-cornered behind the old Huber building. Those tall grain silos. They are a remnant of old Marion a long, long time ago. Farmers don't bring their grain into Marion to store it anymore. And for a while, the Green Camp elevator used those silos. They might have been some of the last ones to use them. But here's what I'm wondering now. I look up at those silos every day when I come into town, and there's something sticking up on top of these silos. And I just, is the roof tearing up and hooving up? And this is what I'd like one of you to do, if you ever get time, to take binoculars and look at the top of those silos and call me and tell me what you're seeing up there, whether it looks like tar paper blowing up from on top. And if those silos, if they're leaking water, not good at all. But no one would ever have the money to bring those silos down, I'm sure. But what are they doing in downtown Marion? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But standing there waiting for their demise. But I would like for you, if anyone has a pair of binoculars, to look at the top of those silos from across the street here and see if you can make out what's hooving up. Something and at first I thought it was birds. I thought it was turkey vultures. But that's not it, no. Now, going east on out to Tri Rivers, you know they've got that new water tower out there. And on top of the water tower at Tri Rivers, there is something. I'd like to know what it is. Is it part of the mechanics of the water tower, or is it some kind of antenna? I don't know. I would like to know more about that. I'm a curious person. How many times have you passed this silo or the water tank there between Menards and Tri Rivers and wondered what's on top of that? And if you know, give me a buzz. You see, this is an education program. Okay. Now, so if we can find out what's hooving up on top of those silos in downtown Marion, and I would like to know, too, do they ever undergo inspection on their durability? Are they a hazard to downtown Marion? Who knows? I don't think anyone ever brings up the subject, do they? Probably not. The same way, out east of me, the bridge across the Sayota or the Olentangy has an upraising on it that goes clunk, clunk when you cross it with a car, let alone a truck. And every day there are probably over 24 trucks full of about 40 tons of grain that pass over that bridge and then go thump, 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 thump. And is that bridge in good shape? Has it been inspected? There is a inspection program, I think, among ODOT to inspect all these bridges, and I hope it's been inspected and ruled okay. To me, it looks like it needs a new deck on it, and I wouldn't want to live down below and hear that thump, 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 thump all day and all night. All right, so now our next topic. Let me see. We're getting down. Boy, I don't want to use up all my questions here so fast. I had a question here too. What's a male turkey called? It's a Jake, J-A-K-E. Do you know anyone by the name of Jake? I grew up in a neighborhood that had one Jake in it. How many kids are named Jake anymore? What would Jake be a derivative of anyhow? How many Jakes are there? I don't think there are any being born anymore. Have you ever heard of anyone being given the name Jake lately? Now, there is a Jace, J-A-C-E. There's several of those around. But how about a Jake? J-A-K-E. All right, now, here. Going back, and some of you older folks like me, were around when gasoline was not distributed or pumped like it is now. You know what it is, even way back when gasoline pumps had that round lighted top on them. And you know, if you could, those tops are worth a lot of money. Oh, my land. I know at the radio station, MRN, I don't know if it's probably not there anymore. They had an X70 Sohio Globe, and I think they run up $150, $200, $250 a piece because they're antiques now. Okay, now going back to the very first gas pumps. Now, when I was walking to school, I used to watch the Ohio Power Company gas pump and watched them filling their trucks. And they did it right along Sandusky Avenue, only that there was no electric involved in that pump at all. So how did the early gasoline pumps work? And once you hear, you'll say, And there was no electric involved, but there was a big lever involved. Now, how did they work? 740-383-9944. That's our number to call. All right. All kinds of questions today. The first gas pumps, how did they work? And they, in fact, they used no electric. Now, how would you pump gas in your car without electric pump? And did you ever wonder how flammable gasoline is, and yet you see them unloading the hose from the tanker trucks and connecting that to the socket in the ground? And you might wonder, doesn't that create a spark? No, it doesn't. That is brass. You click brass with anything and there is no spark involved. And that's the only way they can safely outlet that gasoline at service stations now to fill the underground tanks, because everything is brass. No sparky. That's for sure. But, and do you remember, gasoline trucks used to have an attachment. How many of you remember what gasoline trucks used to have? It was a standard procedure to drain the static away from the truck. I guess it no longer exists. But there was a time when gasoline trucks, you could hear them coming. Now, what did they drag behind them to eliminate static? Like I say, that is a no more type of thing. They don't do that. Now, when you think back, I can hear them coming already. Clinkety clink. What was it they pulled behind them to eliminate static electricity so that their gasoline wouldn't explode that they were carrying? And now what I often wonder too, do these gasoline tankers have compartments in them to where it doesn't, the gasoline doesn't slosh? Maybe there's just compartments with holes in them. How many of you know what's inside a gasoline truck? Nobody, huh? Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
They had a chain hanging down that would drag on the ground.
Yeah, they sure did. I can hear it now, can't you?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, my. And I wonder what made them give up that chain.
I don't have any idea about that.
Somebody said, hey, you really don't need that.
You don't see it anymore.
No, you don't. No.
No.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Do I get a prize today?
Well, yeah, you can have a prize. What would you like?
Have some zoo tickets?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
All right.
Okay, let me get your... I think I know your name, but what is it?
Carl Mounts.
Carl Mounts. Yeah, okay, Carl.
Okay, Charlie.
I'll save the zoo tickets for you. Oh,
okay,
by the way, Carl, do you remember the early gasoline pumps?
Yeah, those were a gravity thing.
Yeah, gravity.
Had a glass thing up on it. I think you had to...
Yeah, you worked the lever back and forth and filled it up.
The lever back and forth and pumped the gas up in it and
yeah.
Then it drained by gravity into
right.
Your car.
Exactly. Boy, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
That was, yeah. It used to be a grocery store over on the corner of Franconia and Center Street called Winter's Grocery Store. And back of that store, they had a pump like that.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, back in the 30s.
Yeah, that's back in the 30s when I watched Ohio Power Company fill their trucks. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Carl, thanks a lot.
All right, Charlie.
Okay.
Take care now.
Bye. Okay, Carl Mounts wins a couple of tickets to the zoo. All right. Yeah, now those tanks used to fill your car or whatever, you would, this great big lever on the side of the tank, you would go back and forth with it, and you would see the gasoline sloshing up inside a clear glass globe-like or cylindrical tube, and you would pump that pump until, well, if you wanted 5 gallons, you pumped it up to where it said five, or filled up with 5 gallons of gasoline, and then you put the hose in your car. You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, let's go back to the service station again. And do you remember when you drove your car in on the rack? Do they still have racks? They must, somewhere. You drove your car in, and then a flapper came up and prevented your car from rolling backwards. Now, what kept the rack up in the air? I know hydraulics did. But if you had a failure of hydraulics, that rack would come down with your car on top of you. Did that ever happen? Or was there a prop or something that went underneath the that to keep that from happening? It's something I often think of as these years have gone by. I can still hear the sound it made when a car drove up on that rack and those little plates came up behind. Oh, here we go. All right. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll try. On the rocks at a gas station.
Yes.
When I always went up, when you got it up as high as you could get it, or wanted it, there was a little flap of water that came out and blocked it, so it wouldn't come up.
Okay.
And come down on you.
That's what I was wondering. So it got blocked. Yeah. Good
that
deal.
Was a block. And it was underneath, and when you got it up, it came out.
Yes. Very good. Okay. Yep. Well, thanks. All right. Now we know. Yeah, do they still have these racks anywhere? The closest to that is at a car wash. Car wash that, out here east on Mount Vernon Avenue, you drive in and they guide you up to a certain point, but then it pulls you the rest of the way in, and you got to make sure you're lined up first. But that's a little different than the old grease job. Remember that? The big container on wheels with a funnel that stuck in the top of it, and they put that underneath your oil pan and unscrewed your oil plug and hopefully caught it before it went down in that pan. That pan might have had a screen in it to prevent anything from going. But, yeah, it's interesting. Now, do you know that there is a company that goes around and buys up that used oil? That used oil that you replaced in your car is recycled. And I was right beside a truck the other day, and I told my wife, I said, there's an oil recycling truck. And sure enough, it ended up at NTB and sucked up their old, the oil. So it's nice to know that oil is being recycled. And I suppose it is sold as pretty cheap oil, I would think. I don't know. I have no idea what the process is of straining out and renewing oil that has been drained from cars. Wouldn't that be interesting to know what that process is? And it's kind of like another truck that goes around, and this truck goes to a restaurant. Do you know that all restaurants that have deep fryers, Most all of them do. After so long, that fluid in their deep fryer becomes, you know, kind of tainted from everything that's been fried in it. And so they recycle that. That goes down in underground also. And a truck pulls up there and pumps it out of their underground tank. There's all kinds of interesting things that take place that most of us, you know, maybe not aware of it. So we've got the deep fryer grease that's picked up and recycled. We have motor oil that's recycled. Now what I'm wondering, the new synthetic oil, which it sells for a rather high price, but lasts, is that recycled? Is that part of the recycling? I'm sure it is part of the recycling problem, because that would mix with a regular oil and synthetic oil. Synthetic oil is more than twice the price of a regular oil job. So it is. So there's a market for just about everything. Now, I bet none of you remember when a company out of Wapakoneta, Ohio, maybe, can you remember the name of it, that picked up dead cows and dead animals from your farm? Remember that? They were painted kind of yellow-orangish. You remember? Yeah, from Wapakoneta, Ohio. I just can't remember the name of the company. I'll probably, after I'm off there, I'll remember. But, yes, they picked up dead cows. And if you were so unfortunate, behind one of these, Wentz, W-E-N-T-Z, it just passed through my noggin. The Wentz company picked up, and I suppose they you had to pay them to pick up your dead animals. But then, here we go. Yeah, let's see here. Okay, caller, go ahead. Ralph, are you there? Hello, Ralph. Maybe I hit the wrong button. Call again. Ralph Thacker had called me there. Yeah, the Wentz company, or was it Wentz? Wentz from Wapakoneta, Ohio, picked up your dead animals. And if you had a farmer, and you have a cow die or a horse die, what are you going to do? Rent a bulldozer and dig a pit for it? No, you call this company, and they come and lift it up and load it. And like I say, if you were unfortunate, that means you were behind one of these trucks hauling a dead animal that had been dead for a while. Yeah. Does this bring anything to your mind, things of the past? I don't know if they still haul dead animals around. I'm sure they must, and it's converted into a meal, bone meal and things like that. Yeah, And boy, oh boy, there's a company in Columbus that processes dead animals. Now, every year when us bicyclers did the, Tosser, T-O-S-F-R-V, tour the Scioto River Valley, we had to pass that company on corner of Route 104 and something else. And it smelled so bad that a lot of us would put our arms up over our noses for a block or two until we got out of the smell range. Now, I can't remember the name of that company, but it did the same thing. It processed dead animals, and it boiled them and ground them up and into bone meal. And some of that bone meal is recommended to be used where you plant flowers and things. You know, you can put it in the ground. That's right. That's where that bone meal comes from. It just doesn't happen. It comes from dead animals. 11:39 is the time. What else is happening? And do you know that the sewage plant, or they call it the wastewater treatment plant, west of Whirlpool, you can buy and that stuff, and it's processed, though, and farmers spread that on fields, as well as chicken manure and old chickens. Yes, everything is used, and that's good. if we didn't use everything, it'd be piling up everywhere, wouldn't it? we couldn't move if they didn't take in the dead animals and the human waste and everything else, and the chickens and you oh my. Yeah, it's something out there. It's a busy world. You may live quietly, but behind all that quietness is a lot of work going on in a lot of different ways. 11:40 is the time, so we got about 20 minutes in the program. And what do I have? I have one question yet. And other than the, hopefully somebody will get out a pair of binoculars. If not, I'll have to bring my binoculars to look at the top of that silo across the street to see what's happening over there. Is the roof hooving up? Is tar paper blowing up? It looks like a bunch of turkey vultures sitting up there, and I'm sure it's not. But it's got my curiosity, and I'm sure it didn't ever get your curiosity. But I would like to know. Okay, now, let me see. It's 11:40. What do I have here? I was trying to think a couple other questions. You know, it takes me quite a while sitting in my easy chair thinking of questions to ask. And once I got through the chickens and the turkeys, I was kind of exhausted here on what am I going to ask now? And the little piggies, you know, the piglets. But, oh, I tell you, I make myself so hungry. Can you, now here's something. Now, I have often, now let me get an answer for this. I often wonder, what is chipped ham? What is the basic ingredient for chipped ham? I know it's ham, yeah, I think. But what is the makeup of chipped ham, which everybody loves? And I like it. Oh, my, yes. Chipped ham sandwich with a piece of Swiss cheese. I used to do that bicycling. I would go to Danville, Ohio, on my bike, and in among the Amish buggies, I would go in, and they'd say, did you have gas? And I said, no, I'm here on my bicycle. I want a chipped ham and a Swiss cheese sandwich. Okay. And I go back down the bike trail and sit along the trail and eat my chipped ham and Swiss cheese. But I've often wondered, have you ever wondered, what is the basic ingredient of chipped ham? Is it chipped ham? So thin? Remember Isley's chipped ham? Oh, my goodness. The only thing is, Isley's kept going up and up and up in price. Then Lawson's came to town, remember? Lawson's, I think they were from Cleveland originally. Lawson's started taking away Isley's business. And that pretty well was the end of Isley's around here. Lawson's sold their chipped ham cheaper. And after church on Sundays, how many people used to go and buy chipped ham and cottage cheese, things like that, for the Sunday meal? But what is basically chipped ham? I bet you can Google that. Yeah. we eat all this chipped ham, and nobody even knows what chipped ham is, basically. Where is chipped ham from? Is it ham? Well, I'm sure it is ham. But how, in what form was it originally? How did they make chipped ham? 11:44 right now. I hope to find this out by the end of the day. How is chipped ham made? As something that is so sought after, so delicious, and you can serve it so many ways. Chipped ham and mayonnaise, chipped ham and tomatoes, chipped ham and mustard, chipped ham and sauerkraut. Oh, I love sauerkraut. I saw a thing on the internet today that so many quarts of sauerkraut is equal to so many pounds of probiotic. That's right, a probiotic is something that adds these little things to your gut and called a probiotic. And sauerkraut is famous as a probiotic. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes. Stay right where you're at. Don't run away.
I've got my milk and my bowl and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Yeah, I think we're back once again. Let me see here. Okay, I was on the phone finding all about chipped ham. Now here, chipped ham is made out of scraps of ham that are pressed together and then cooked and then sliced very, very thin. Okay, I have a caller here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, just ham. When they use the scraps and whatever, you put it on the slicer as thin as it will go, and then it just out the pieces.
Yeah, but first of all, you got to have pieces to press together.
Right, well, when they slice up the ham, the end of the ham.
Yeah, okay.
But they use it, and then they use that to chip up the ham with.
Very good, okay. Thank you. All right, now see, how many of us knew that? They ham scraps are taken and pressed together and cooked. You know, those oblong, rectangular-shaped chipped ham thing. Is cooked and then sliced very, very thin. Okay, we have a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
I thought you might be interested. Yeah. I just received in the mail an advertisement from GFS, Gordon Food Services.
Yes.
And on the back, they are selling whole tom turkeys for 99 cents a pound.
Oh, no kidding.
And they're average 12 to 19 pounds.
Ah.
So if you really want a tom, you can go to Gordon's and buy one.
Well, my goodness. And you can take that and slice it up and make sausage and ham patties or...
Well, the picture shows it's serving on your Thanksgiving table.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
All righty.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Okay, bye. Well, now, how about that? Gordon Foods have Tom Turkeys. Yeah. Well, that's... I'd like to find out more about that, yeah. Isn't that interesting? We find out more things. 11:48 and a half is the time. And another question concerning service stations. Now, most all of you probably have been to a grand opening of a service station. We don't have many of those anymore, do we? Grand openings? We had a lot of grand closings all over Marion. Some of the most beautiful residential sites were bulldozed and service stations put in, and then in a matter of time the service station left and left underground tanks too. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Charlie.
Yeah.
You was talking about the truck from Dayton picking up stuff.
Yes.
Dead cows.
Yeah.
Well, when I worked at Joe's Market.
Right.
They used to come in. We used to have a barrel there, and we peeled off all the
and they would wheel them out and dump them into the truck.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, so they not only got dead animals, but they got leftovers from butcher shops.
Yeah, they got stuff like that that they had. He's sitting around the barrel, which there was no real disposal for some of the bones and things that they would come in and get them. So.
Now, was that the Wentz Company of Wapakoneta?
Yeah, from Wapakoneta.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I remember when I used to work there, because I used to be done the deli meat counter most of the time when I worked there.
Now, did you work with chipped ham?
Yeah. Even making ground beef, I mean, a lot of times when it's made up, it's about the same idea of the rakings and
the pieces,
trim and everything off of like steaks or anything, and you just
put
it down through the grinder.
I often wondered, too, if a steak went so many days without selling, would that be converted into ground beef?
Yeah, but, you talk about your ground chuck, the high end of the steak or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if it's like that, and then you turn around and turn it into like ground chuck and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. So there's a lot that people never really learn. Maybe they don't need to learn.
Yeah, like I learned a lot of things when I worked in there, because I never know when we sold ribs, we had to crack them for people,
Yes.
We had to crack ribs and stuff for the people. And
yeah.
Like I say, I learned a lot of things they've done into that.
You know what I often wonder, too? Why lamb chops, why they take the meat off the bones and all you see sticking up are the bones from lamb chops?
Yeah, I don't know on that one.
I guess it's style.
Yeah. And I was going to also tell you that their Grand Prairie Market sells Isley's chopped ham.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they have. It says Isley's chopped ham. It's regular $4.39, and they have it on sale for $3.99 this week.
Okay, yeah. Is that the one
that still runs the high price?
Is that the one where it's the flea market?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a food deli in there.
Yeah, okay.
You have a lot of different meats.
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right, so I just want to jump in there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, have a good one now.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Okay, yeah. But it's interesting to know about chipped ham, how that's composed. And, kind of like hamburger, they take... trimmings and different things to make ground beef. Now, I go to Carly's to get, what do they call it? There's two different grades of ground beef. Now, they cut the real good parts up, and that's an extra lean ground beef. And it's more expensive, of course. But anyhow, I can tell, usually... And like, say, chili soup and other things, I can tell if the meat tastes old. I don't know. There's a little difference in taste. And you can tell, at least I can, that I can tell fresh from the kind of old. 11:53 is the time. Boy, we're getting down the last bit here on the program. Now, as I was saying, when the service stations, brand new ones, opened up, they usually gave away something, and I bet all of you know what they gave away. And if you would like a couple of tickets to the zoo, give me a buzzaroo. What did the grand opening of service stations give to their customers? 740-383-9944. And I think if you had a bunch of what they gave away right now, it might be a collector's item. I don't know how you would distinguish what was given away at service stations from other receptacles. What was it that service stations gave away years ago as an enticement for new customers? And by the way, we have a mailing address now. It's WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208. Boy, that sounds high class, doesn't it? Ooh, Suite 208. Well, it is high class. This is a nice place. Let me see here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Was it glasses or cups?
Yes, it was glasses.
Yeah, my mom and dad used to have them with the back in the 60s.
Yes, I bet a lot of people still do and don't remember where they got them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were quite colorful, too.
Yeah, they were. They sure lasted, didn't they?
Oh, yes, yeah. Hey, would you like some tickets to the zoo?
Oh, no, I'd let somebody else have them.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, well, hey, I'm sure glad you called.
Okay, thanks, Charlie.
All
right. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, okay. So our address, our mailing address, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Got that? Okay. Especially for those of you living out in Bucyrus and Galleon, Upper Sandusky and Waldo and Timbuktu, WWGH Radio 165 West Center, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Okay. 11:56 is the time. We've got only about 3 minutes left. And so we found out what a capon chicken is. We found out that hens, a turkey hen that is raised for, you know, plumpness in the breast, is too physically unable to breed with a tom turkey. And that's how they prevent that. Okay, and what else do I have here? The gizzard is a grinder. If a turkey eats the corn and whatever, the gizzard grinds that up. And then, we have, what else? A group of domesticated turkeys is called a rafter. I wonder why they call them rafters. Rafters, what's overhead in your barn, isn't it? Yeah. Do you ever climb? I put it on the internet, too. They were showing a picture of the construction of the Colosseum, and you saw the rafters up there, and I put a comment that back when my first days in radio, I climbed those rafters. You know, this was after the roof was on, of course. I would go up in the press box and use that as my starting point to climb up onto the rafters and hang on to the cross pieces, because the where you walked was so narrow, I strung microphone cables across those rafters and dropped them down to where the speakers were for Harding High School graduations. And it was a dangerous... I wonder if they ever realized how dangerous that was, and if I'd fallen off the... Oh, my. It was so narrow. And you can, if you see a picture of those rafters, picture me crawling across those rafters full of dust and dirt. You know, this was 1953, about 3 years after the Colosseum was built, and it already had garnered a lot of dirt up there in the rafters. I would have black hands, black everything, crawling across those rafters. I'll never forget that. Starting in the press, if you ever go there and you see the press box, that's where I started from. I'd climb on the press box, reach up and grab the rafters with a microphone and a cable around my shoulders, and start marching very carefully and slow. Wow. That was something. That was probably just as dangerous as climbing up on top of the courthouse. But what I would like to see before I die would be a new paint job on Lady Justice. Because when you come up Mount Vernon Avenue, the first thing you see is the courthouse dome and Lady Justice. Wouldn't that look nice to visitors to see a gleaming Lady Justice up on top? And she is turning a very dull color. Other courthouses, they've hired painters to redo their Lady Justices. I wish we could. But there's no money, is there? that was what you would hear. Okay, it's 11:59 and a half. My goodness. I'll be back with, what's his name? Scott. at the 12:15 to 1 o'clock. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about, which makes it much more interesting. Okay, it's 11:59 and a half right now. Yeah, we're almost there at a noon hour. What are you going to fix for dinner today, huh? Yeah. No turkey. You'll have that Thanksgiving.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no, 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 no. And that may sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read. And Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here. And it's here. Face it, it's here. It's done. And what she said, and I want everyone to know, she wrote the truth. She would never lie. You could offer her any amount of money and she would not tell a lie.
To legendary zoologist from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and Conan O'Brien, Jim Fowler.
What is something you regret turning